Heavenly Father, I just pray that as we hear from you this morning, Lord, you will open our hearts and minds to what you want to tell us. Lord, I know that the world and the enemy doesn't want to hear about you. So Lord, right now at the start, we banish everything in the name of Jesus Christ that isn't from you. Lord, we want to be 100% focused on you this morning. Lord, send your spirit on us. Amen. Hello, everyone. I'm probably more excitable this morning than I usually am. If you know me, that's probably quite... That's going to get in my way. I'm going to go... Doof. Anyway. There is a challenge this morning. It's not at the end. It's all the way through. There are probably about a billion verses. So if you've got your Bibles ready, you'll do well to keep up. Probably do well to keep up myself. You know, I've been really excited about this message since God first told me that he wanted me to preach it probably about a month ago. And it's been great this morning because everything that's happened so far, it's just confirmed it. And you know what? It's a message that we probably all know very well, but I don't know if you're like me. From time to time, we get distracted by world, our situation, and it's almost like we need a kick up the bum to sort of get into action again and get going. So I'm talking this morning about the Holy Spirit. You know what? God made us in his image so that we could be with him, didn't he? He made us so we could know him, love him, share his life and enjoy being in his presence. Unfortunately, though, our sin damaged that image and destroyed this special relationship that we have with him. And so, right at the start, before we go any further, we've got one of the first awesome plans that God has for us. Even before we sinned, even before Adam and Eve sinned, in fact, even before God created anything, he had a special plan to restore us back into that special relationship with him. And you know what? The most brilliant, mind-blowing thing about this plan is that even though we have sinned, even though we totally don't deserve it, even though we destroy this relationship, the great thing about this plan is we actually end up living closer to God than we would have ever done in the first place. God's not just going to be next to us like he was with Adam and Eve in the garden. He's going to be right inside us. You can't get any closer than that. So, just to go back, because Adam and Eve sinned, God had to show that there was no way they could possibly love him or serve him through their own efforts. There was no way they could work themselves back into unity with him. Nothing they ever did could please or earn his forgiveness. This is what we call the fall, isn't it? Adam and Eve's rebellion. And you know what? This infected our very nature. And it meant that every generation since is born with that nature as well. Jesus himself said, didn't he, that in man's flesh, in his natural life, there's nothing good. The flesh counts for nothing, and it's incapable of pleasing God. And we can see, can't we, if we look back in the Old Testament, even though God gave his law and commandments to the people of Israel, and even though they first of all started to live by them, they very quickly rebelled. And the thing is, God had actually shown them that if they lived by his law and commandments, they would have amazing blessings and benefits. So the first verse is Deuteronomy 28, 1-2. It says, "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God." The problem was the people found they couldn't keep this obedience because of their hearts. So God had another second mind-blowing solution to this problem. And that was that he would actually give us new hearts. He would send his own spirit to come and live right inside of us. And that would give us the strength to follow him, to keep his decrees. We all know, don't we, if we rely on our own strength, we're going to fail within seconds. But the thing that keeps us going, it's the power and the presence of God right inside of us. He says in Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And now that we have God's spirit living us, we have this new, amazing, special relationship with him. Instead of having the laws written on the stone and the tablets, we now have them written in our hearts and minds. But jumping forward, Joel tells us what God would do when he gave us his spirit, didn't he? He says in Joel 2, 28 to 29, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days. How amazing. Is there anyone here who doesn't fall under any of those categories? Young and old, male and female, all will have this spirit poured out on them. However, this couldn't and it still can't happen unless we receive God's forgiveness for our sins, can it? And this brings us to another awesome plan devised before the start of anything. Jesus Christ. I can't remember it word for word, but the beginning of John's gospel starts. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was Jesus Christ, and through him all things were made. He sent Jesus to take our place that we rightly deserved. And now, by faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross, we can receive forgiveness and become acceptable in God's sight. We can receive a new nature with God's Spirit living right inside of us. I'm skipping to the New Testament now, Romans 3, 21 to 24. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for we've all sinned and fall far short of the glory of God. And we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And then we know the rest, don't we? After Jesus won that amazing victory on the cross, he went back to be with the Father. Then the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that lived right inside of Jesus, could come. It could come and live in the life of everybody who believes in him. Just want to spend a few moments looking at how the Holy Spirit operated in Jesus when he was on the earth. Before Jesus received his anointing to start his ministry, John the Baptist had prophesied about Jesus. In Matthew 3:11, he says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So it's Jesus himself who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. Now, the original word for baptize here means to submerge or to infuse completely with. So through Jesus Christ, we can not only be submerged in water for the forgiveness of our sins, but we can also be submerged and infused fully with the life and power of the Holy Spirit. Just want to point out one little thing here. It's important to notice that Jesus didn't receive the Holy Spirit while he was in the water being baptized. I think in Matthew's account it said, after Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And then in Luke 3, 21 to 21, it says, while he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him like in a bodily form like a dove. We haven't got time this morning, but if you look at all the documented accounts of when the early church went out and baptized people, there was always a separation between water baptism and baptism in the Spirit. Sometimes it happened straight away, but it never happened exactly at the same time. So, being baptized in the Spirit means being completely submerged, infused, filled up with him. You know what? The other thing is, it's not just one event, is it? It doesn't just happen once. So if we look in the book of Acts at the day of Pentecost, it says, suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit had enabled them. Then after this, they went out and preached, didn't they, in all the languages, and 3,000 people were saved and added to the church. And then, do you remember, Peter went and did his silver and gold thing. And then, yet later on in Acts, some days later, it said, after they had prayed, in Acts 4:31, it says, the place they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. God baptized them with the Spirit a second time. It's funny, isn't it? None of them said, excuse me, God, I think you got your theology wrong. I'm pretty sure we can only be baptized in the Spirit once. That's not true, is it? Because everyone there who was already filled was filled again and again and again. Woo! So what can we learn from Jesus? You know what? Jesus, throughout his whole ministry, acted and taught in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's never, ever, apart from Jesus, going to be anyone alive who in their own strength is going to deserve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a precious gift from God. And Jesus stood in John 7:37. We might stick in John for a bit, maybe. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from him. So the Holy Spirit, it's given as a gift to us, for us, but it's also given so that we might flow it back out. So Jesus is telling us, if you're thirsty, all you got to do is ask. We're not staying in John. In Luke's gospel, he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Luke 11:9. And staying in Luke, in verse 13 of the same chapter, he says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You know what? Jesus makes it really clear here that there is no way anyone can become part of the kingdom of God unless they're born again. Unless they're born of the Spirit. Back to John's Gospel 3:5-7, he says, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. I find this fascinating. Why did Jesus say, I tell you the truth? He was the truth. Everything he said was true. It means this must be really, really important. And in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 7, it says, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you and will be with you. Here, Jesus is showing us that the Holy Spirit is his Spirit. And because the world did not accept Jesus, it cannot receive the Holy Spirit. But those who accept and believe in Jesus are able to receive this gift. And Jesus will not live with us as he did with the disciples on earth, but quite literally in us. Man, this is exciting, isn't it? We know it, don't we? But sometimes we just like, come on! There is a flip side. Of course, if you reject Jesus as the Son of God, you're going to be unable to receive this precious gift. Jesus will not come and live in anyone who rejects his lordship over their life. And then at the Last Supper in John 14:15-17, Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth, he enables us also to walk in the truth of what Jesus has done. And Jesus also teaches us in John how the Holy Spirit will work in believers. John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears and will tell you what is yet to come. You know what? There's some really significant truths in this verse. It says he will guide you in all truth. You know what? God doesn't want us to have partial revelations. He doesn't want us to only concentrate on the bit of the truth that we're interested in or maybe sits nicely with us. We are supposed to live in the whole counsel of God. He says the Holy Spirit will not speak on his own. The Holy Spirit living us, it doesn't decide what to say or how to lead us. It's in complete unity with Jesus and the Father. It says the Holy Spirit will only speak what he hears. Whatever the Holy Spirit speaks to us, this is a direct revelation from heaven, from the Father and the Son who rule and reign. Man, that's like, woof. It probably means, if you hear it, you probably better do what it says. And it says he will tell you what is yet to come. Now, we shouldn't use the Holy Spirit as some sort of fortune teller and say, oh God, please just tell me what's going to happen next week. Or No. If we do, it's quite clear in the Bible that divination is demonic and wrong. But the initiative can come from God. And God can speak to us sometimes through the Holy Spirit, can't he? He can speak promises to us, which maybe we then have to pray into being. Or he might warn us of some imminent danger or some attack from the enemy. Like I've said, we do know all this, don't we? I expect the majority of us here know all this. But you know what? I still find it utterly amazing that God, the creator of everything, chooses to come and live inside of me, inside of you. Right there. Wow. So I think we'll just do one more verse from John's Gospel. You know what? I've saved the best till last. And every time I read this verse, my mind's absolutely like, going to come out well on the recording. In John 16:15, Jesus says, "All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." You know what? This verse shows complete cooperation between all the three persons of the Trinity. He makes it clear that everything that belongs to God the Father also belongs... Sorry, I'm being really quick, so I'll try to squeeze it all in. He makes it clear that all that belongs to God the Father also belongs to Jesus the Son. And all that belongs to God the Father and Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit wants it made known to us. All. Not just little itty bits. Everything. You know what? There's absolutely nothing God or Jesus in heaven want to withhold from us. They want us to have it all. I can't really express what it's like. I've written some words down. I won't read them out. You know what? If we actually fully realize this revelation, you know what? We can face absolutely anything. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the world does. It doesn't matter what our situation is. We've got God, all the power of heaven and earth, there. So Romans 8:1-2 says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." You know what? As of everything that is good from God, there are probably two things that are in direct opposition to this, in direct opposition to us operating in the power of the Spirit. One is the enemy in the world, isn't it? Both full of deception and lies about what we deserve, what we're worthy of, what the Spirit can do, what God can do. Secondly, it's ourselves, isn't it? Before I was first baptized in the Spirit, you know, I've got to be honest. It wasn't that I didn't want to follow God or be baptized in the Spirit. I was scared. I probably didn't want to be baptized because the thing I was scared of was actually giving over control to God, 100% control. But you know what? It's the best thing I ever did. It's the best thing I could ever do. However scary that seems. You know what? God, he always wants our best, even when we don't really understand or know what that is. So that's probably all the verses from the Bible for this morning. There's so much to say about the Holy Spirit that, unfortunately for you, there's another three times I'll be preaching this year, all on the Holy Spirit. Next time it's going to be the power of the Spirit. Man, I am looking forward to that one. And then we've got the gifts of the Spirit, and then we've got the fruits of the Spirit. All brilliant stuff. But I want to ask you now, maybe you've never asked the Holy Spirit into your life like this. He doesn't come unless you ask. Maybe the world and the enemy have got you in bondage and they're holding you down, full of deception and lies, full of condemnation, telling you that you're not worthy, you're not good enough to have this gift from God. Maybe it's telling you you're not even worthy to be a Christian. I don't know whether everyone's the same as me, but from time to time, we all sort of face that, don't we? And maybe like I was originally, you're scared of giving over control completely to God. You know what? If you've never asked the Holy Spirit into your life, all you need to do is ask and then have the faith that God has given it to you. It's that simple. There's nothing else you need to do. You don't need a special atmosphere. You just need to say, Jesus, I want the Holy Spirit. And then you believe it's done and it's done. You know what? If you've been deceived or you're in some sort of bondage into maybe thinking that you don't deserve the Holy Spirit, that's nothing to worry about really. I've got some good news for you. There's no one ever been alive who's been good enough to receive the Holy Spirit. In fact, I've got some even better news. There's been no one alive who's ever been good enough to be saved. Hallelujah. We are. You know what? That is the whole point of Jesus Christ. God loves us so much, he sent his son to take our place. And remember, this is really, really important. The Holy Spirit only ever convicts. It never, ever condemns. It convicts and it points to Jesus on the cross. It points to the work Jesus did. That might make you feel a bit guilty, but he never condemns. He never says, I'm sorry, that's too late, that's too bad. He convicts so that then we look to Jesus. There's that famous verse in John's gospel, isn't there? John 3:16, you know, whoever believes in for God so loved the world. The next couple of verses after that go on to say, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ is not condemned. That's the truth. Maybe, like me, you were scared of giving over control, or maybe scared of the unknown. You know, I really want to encourage you to just let go. Not in the frozen sense of the word, though. Although we could, that'd be quite interesting, though. You know what? Deep down, we know that God cares for us. He's got the best plans for us. He wants the best for us. If you've not given over this sort of control to God, you're never going to look back. I can't encourage you more. It's absolutely, phenomenally amazing. So, what's the sort of message from this little bit? You know what? We are set free. How amazing is that? We are set free. We have, and the other amazing thing about that is we're set free, so we're not held in bondage by anything. But we haven't just got a direct line to heaven. We got heaven here, right inside of us, anytime we need it. So, let's all stand, shall we? Who's, like we saw in Acts, you can be filled again and again and again and again. So, let's be a bit daring, like Robin said. Who's up for being filled this morning? Yeah? You remember, all we got to do is ask. If the band could come up, because we're probably short of time. 12:06. Actually, let's be a bit daring and not have the band to start off with. Now the band can be ready. We've all got roasts in the oven. Let's be a bit daring. I love music. I love worship. But you know, sometimes we sort of lean on that a bit, don't we? And we sort of say, well, I know we need to pray for healing. We better whip out some good old worship and set the atmosphere right. And that there is a time for that. I'm not saying it's wrong. I can't see when that happened much in Acts. They just sort of got on with it. They asked, they received, blah, blah, blah. That's all we're going to do now. So I'm not going to say anything else. I'm going to pray in a minute. So for the next couple of minutes, right where you are, this is uncomfortable, isn't it? It's uncomfortable for me. I've done it millions of times. I'll tell you why. It's because even yourself and the world, and it doesn't want you to do it. It doesn't want you to experience this amazing gift from God. But we need to forget all that. We just need to push through. So, what did Jesus say? He just said, ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you'll find. So let's just spend a couple of minutes, and then we'll worship, maybe. Go. Sorry, me again. It's all a bit. I've got nothing about quiet. I'm a really loud person. You know, I really think God wants to hear you. He obviously knows your thoughts, but sometimes I think he wants to hear you cry. Do you notice in the Old Testament or the New Testament that? And I know some people are quiet. I am exceptionally loud, so apologies for stereotyping or whatever it is. But they all seem to cry out. Maybe it's because we're British and we don't like crying out, but there was a lot of crying out in the Bible when they needed God. So I really want to encourage you. Let's all cry out to him. Also, maybe, like we've heard some testimonies this morning, you are sort of like trapped in some sort of bondage or feel like you're being held back or condemned. If that's you, then if there could be members of the prayer team over in the corner there, then we really want to pray with you. Because we, you know what? The Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, God, they are bigger than anything else. They can break absolutely anything. In fact, Jesus is desperate. He's desperate to come and meet you to break that. He wants the very best for you. He wants fullness for you. Oh, come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Spread your fire, Jesus. Lord, send your spirit on us. Come on, Jesus. Lord, we're desperate for you. Lord, we need you. Jesus, you are the Lord of our lives. Lord, we believe in you. Lord, from this point, we're going to put our trust completely in you. Lord, come on. Send your spirit. Send your spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. More, Jesus. Send it more. Come on, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.